Welcome to MSU Today. I'm Bill Beekman, Vice President and Director of Intercollegiate Athletics. And on today's program, we're joined by Aaron Souza, Dean of the College of Human Medicine, and a colleague of mine from many, many years ago when I spent time in the college myself. And Aaron, we'll start off with sort of letting people know how the College of Human Medicine is so unique and really born out of an era in the back in what seems for some probably like a lifetime ago, back in the late 60s and early 70s, with this concept of a community-based medical school. And and we were really a pioneer medical school in that regard. And so could you explain to us how the College of Human Medicine as a community-based medical school is unique and different from what people might think of as a traditional medical school they might be familiar with, and the advantages that that gives us in how we serve the people of the state of Michigan?
I'd be delighted to, Bill. So the college is a child of the 1960s, which for many of us is a lifetime ago. For some people, it's two lifetimes ago. For example, our students right now, most of them, that's two lifetimes ago. And at that time, across the country, medical schools were really only based out of big, huge, central hospital academic medical centers. And at the time, the state was interested in another medical school. The legislature wanted to have another medical school. And the university saw a place as a land-grant institution, really as the pioneer land-grant institution, that it could do something different. So it set up a medical school where students started in their first 2 years, which are mostly basic science in East Lansing. And then they did their clinical training in campuses around the state. So one of the first new campuses was in the Upper Peninsula, and nobody had ever done anything like that before, tried to train medical students in their clinical years in the third and fourth year where they're in clinics and working with physicians, taking care of patients in a rural setting like that. We also had students in Flint and Grand Rapids and in Lansing. Over the years, some of our campuses have changed a little bit, but that same philosophy that the best place for people to learn to be a physician is with the people they will eventually be taken care of stays with us. And our dedication to those communities is a part of what makes us different and special. We were leaders in that. Almost every medical school now has some sort of community experience for students. And there are more than 80 medical schools across the country that now think of themselves, at least in part, as a community-based medical school. So we were real innovators, and it's been a great thing for our students. They get great training with people that they will eventually take care of. Most of our students end up practicing in Michigan after they've finished their training. And our communities have been incredibly generous and thoughtful. And, I think as we'll get a chance to talk about, they've been interested in having the college do more there. And that has led to development of research, economic development, opportunities for people in those communities. It's been a really great symbiotic relationship.
Well, and I think that, in terms of the community-based model is one of the real strengths of the model. On the one hand, we're teaching students across the state of Michigan, and yet a student in Marquette, for example, gets the same baseline education that a student in Flint gets, or in Grand Rapids or Lansing or elsewhere. But it's sort of the best of both worlds, because then, depending on what community we're in, it seems as though we sometimes have unique points of emphasis in those communities. And I think that typically our campus in Marquette in the Upper Peninsula, we've recruited students who might be either from the Northern Lower Peninsula or the Upper Peninsula, who then go back to those more rural settings for their practice. But to me, one of the more interesting developments of the last decade has been the public health work that we do in Flint, and sort of in a I was going to say a perfect storm, it was sort of maybe the reverse of a perfect storm, I don't know, but you know, in terms of the tragedy that really occurred there with the Flint water crisis, you know, we were as a medical school in the city of Flint with a public health focus prepared to help the people of that community in a unique way. And so could you share with us a little bit about the unique public health mission of the Flint campus?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're so very right that each community has its own sort of flavor or our own relationship with the people in that community. In Traverse City, Midland, and the Upper Peninsula, it tends to be with a rural focus. And in Flint, a little bit more than about 15 years ago, we really started working with Flint and the C.S. Mott Foundation on what kinds of development that we could do there. And everybody sort of landed on a public health focus, and importantly, a focus on community-based participatory research. So it was a community that really didn't want to be biopsied anymore. There had been plenty of research done on them, but not so much that they actually participated in. So we had a group of people who went to more than 100 community meetings, 4,000 surveys, and a big committee of folks in the community, not just hospital CEOs and insurance CEOs and people like that, but actual regular folk. And they were focused on, they wanted us to focus on three kinds of research, healthy behaviors, behavioral health, and chronic disease. And not just what happens with those, but actually work to reduce disparities in health. So we set up a public health unit there focused on community-based participatory research along those areas, started hiring folks. And that happened just before the Flint water crisis kind of broke. And so we had people in place and working together on public health research. Hurley, Jennison, Sis, and McLaren were all deeply engaged in that partnership. And one of the folks at Hurley and one of our faculty, Dr. Mona Hanna Atisha, did some work looking at the levels of lead in children in Flint, showing that that had been going up. And you know, the people of Flint had been saying for a long time that their water was not safe. And there's a large, complicated piece about how they had lost the power of the ballot box because of a state manager. Their city council couldn't make decisions, so their representatives couldn't change things. And so in a lot of ways, those folks weren't listened to, except by some academics, including Mona. And we had people there who were able to work with Mona and help Mona, including a geographer, Rick Sadler, who really, those folks did the science that tied the age of the water to the exposure of children to lead, to the lead in their blood, and really sort of tied a bow around the science and how that went. Since then, Mona has joined us. She's a C.S. Mott professor. We have the Flint Registry, Lead Registry, is now based out of Flint. It's funded by the CDC. They have about 30,000 people who are either enrolled or pre-enrolled. They've done 17,000 assessments. So they are really delivering on making the world a better place to try to help the people of Flint. And it's been remarkable to watch. At the same time, the rest of that public health unit, which is led by Deborah Verholden, has been really successful at bringing research opportunities to the community. So we just did an economic analysis. There are more than 800 job years there in the last 5 years. So the federal money comes in to do research. That is another, each of those, those grants fund people in places like Odyssey House and other community agencies where the research is done to try to find interventions that make life better for those folks, or and really for all around the country and the world. And that's been worth a little under $100 million in economic development for the Flint community, in addition to access to better care and assessments like through the Flint Lead Registry. It's really remarkable. It's something that that of the things I've been involved with in the college, it's one of the things that I think we can be most proud of.
Well, and Aaron, I really like the way you say, you talk about how it makes the world a better place. When I talk to our student athletes, and occasionally I'll talk about what the definition of a Spartan is, and I tell them, my definition of a Spartan is a person who makes their corner of the world a better place. And in whatever that, whatever their future may hold for them, whatever pathway to a career or whatever else they may do in their life, if they're making their corner of the world a better place, then they're a great Spartan. And certainly there's the work that we're doing in Flint is exactly that. So moving geographically from Flint west across the state, I had the opportunity this weekend to drive through Grand Rapids, and I'm always very proud of the work that we're doing there. In part because I very early in my career I was invested in it quite a bit, but always to see the Secchia Center is has a very special place with me. But I was really quite excited that to see the progress in the sort of the research triangle that we have just west of the Secchia Center. And I'd been in the first research building, but to see the progress on that second building is really quite remarkable. And so could you share with us a little bit about the extraordinary research work that's going on in Grand Rapids? And that, I think, kind of is that community's niche area.
Yeah, it really is an amazing story. And it actually, Bill and I met over Grand Rapids. I mean, I was a young faculty member and Bill was working in the college and we were trying to figure this out. And I had just taken on the educational duties for the college, and Bill drove me over to Grand Rapids and said, "Well, what do you think of this building? This is a spot for a building." So way back in the aughts, and there was a vision, right? This is the philanthropic community in Grand Rapids had a real vision of what that community needed to grow and to expand and create an intellectual economy and opportunities for new care and cutting edge care for the people of the community. And they thought that what they needed was to have a medical school with their hospitals. And they have a couple of great hospital systems there, namely Spectrum and St. Mary's. And so having CHM, the College of Human Medicine there, turned out to be a linchpin for their future development. The university acquired some airspace, which is where the Secchia Center is, named after Peter Secchia, who was a great friend of the university and the college. And then land down below that, if you know Grand Rapids, where the old Grand Rapids press building was and along the river. And that land down below at the bottom of the Medical Mile is where we put our first research building. Now the Doug Meyer Medical Innovation Building is, the walls are all up. And that is the largest single individual gift to the college. Doug Meyer's really generous gift to try to put in a radiopharmacy there, which will be a cutting edge piece of technology to help people in that community, as well as help us push science to new ways of diagnosing and treating cancer and other diseases. So as time has gone by, there's yet another building there. It will be a building at just on Monroe Avenue that Perigro will be in. And the last couple of buildings are public-private partnerships. So MSU is not, the state is not paying for those buildings. MSU is not paying for those buildings. Those are partnerships with private development that they build buildings that people are leasing to move into with jobs coming to downtown, as well as cutting-edge science and partnerships with the university and the college. It's a remarkable work. It's one of the things that Norm Beauchamp, dean before me, had done at the University of Washington, and then since put together with Jerry Coyman and some other folks in Grand Rapids. It's When you think about the 15 years, or I guess almost 20 years since we started that work, it is really astonishing to see what has developed there. And it's been huge for the community. It's hundreds of millions of dollars in jobs and grants and development. It's been a great success.
And it really is extraordinary. And there's a little building that sits across the street from the Van Andel Institute. In fact, I didn't drive by it this week, and I'm not sure it's even there anymore. But a little one-story building that was our first office in Grand Rapids. And I had a key, and I think Marcia Rapley had a key and a few other folks. And we sort of hung out there as we did our planning and work on building the various buildings. And to think from that little sort of one-story brick office to where we've come, it's just sort of beyond one's imagination that it's all come to fruition in the way it has. And the partnerships, as you say, with St. Mary's and Spectrum, and the opportunities for collaboration in that community are really special. And and I think that at our best, sometimes as a medical school, it's those relationships that we build in the community. You know, as you mentioned in Flint, with really the community itself, in Grand Rapids, those hospital partnerships are critical to our success. And it was really, really exciting to see the college announce its newest relationship, I guess, with the Henry Ford healthcare system in Southeast Michigan. And so, what do we, as that's just getting off the ground, what do we expect to come from that, and what are the unique aspects of that relationship that we should know about?
Yeah, I think that it gets to really the way the college is put together and its relationship with hospitals and how the health economy works. So in a traditional big academic medical center, the clinical work of a hospital often helps the research work happen, and the research work and education work. And that cycle, then through more research and education, more patients come, and that helps the clinical operation. And that turns into really a very powerful engine of discovery and opportunity for students and patients, and it's economically good for the community as well. The College of Human Medicine and Michigan State don't own hospitals. So the downside of that is we don't have that natural cycle to reinvest into research. The good news is we don't have a hospital to fill. So people build, a $900 million hospital, they've got to make sure they've got enough patients in there, or else they can't pay the bills. And we don't have that requirement, which makes it a lot easier for people to partner with us, because we don't have to compete with them on clinical enterprise. I Henry Ford, I think, views their future success as tied to being able to bring in cutting edge clinician researchers and scientists so that their patients have access to the best care in the world. And a part of what those kinds of physicians and look for is an academic environment. And I want to be clear, Ford has an academic environment, but they don't have the traditional parts of a university academic status, so that if you want that, and you want to become a chair, or you want to become dean, or you want to develop in those circles, sometimes those institutions, it's a little more difficult to be successful. So having a university like Michigan State, and this is absolutely a partnership between not just the college, but the rest of the university and Henry Ford, having that university relationship is really important to Ford. For us, it's the opportunity to hire more folks in research and more opportunities for students. And so it's really clear from the development agreement, which is public, that one of the first areas is going to be work on cancer and hiring researchers in cancer. I think that will be a great development for the university to be able to bring in people to work on that. And that will help Henry Ford, and then there are some other areas that they're also interested in, whether it's in neuroscience or public health or epidemiology. And So I think it's a great opportunity for the university to develop, because we get to participate in a bit of that clinical research education cycle that has been so important to academic medicine across the country and around the world. And when you look at things like the basic science behind COVID vaccines and COVID testing and things like that, it comes out of that cycle. Our ability to handle new diseases or make a difference for people with diseases that have previously been untreatable comes out of that cycle.
So Aaron, we've talked a lot about the community-based model at the College of Human Medicine at Michigan State. We've talked about how that has an impact on people from the Upper Peninsula to the people of Flint through our campus there, Grand Rapids, Metro Detroit, and Henry Ford, really throughout the state. But one of the questions I got a lot when I was in the college and we were working on the initial expansion to Grand Rapids was some anxiety from the people of the Lansing community, who we've been serving for so many years, that we might be leaving Lansing and not able to serve this community as well as we once had. And I think over the years, in fact, the reverse has been the case, that as we've grown elsewhere, really we've grown in Lansing as well. So we'll wrap up by sharing with us what's going on in Lansing and what are we excited about doing here, things we're doing here in our own community?
One of the things that's most exciting here is that our clinicians, our faculty, are some of the best physicians in the city. So the neonatologists that treat kids at Sparrow, which is one of the best neonatal care units in the state, those are MSU people. Those are MSU-employed physicians. And, the people who take care of patients without physicians at Sparrow are mostly our internal medicine folks or our family medicine folks. So there's a lot of care that we directly provide, and our students get trained here. And of course, the university is a huge operation. So much of our research or its grants that happen here, and people who do their work here and bring collaborators in. I do think, there's a real opportunity to do more in Lansing, right? One of the things that has happened in Flint and Grand Rapids is that there's been a philanthropic partner who brings the hospitals and the university together to build. And that is, we could get a long philosophical discussion about the differences in the growth between Lansing and Indianapolis and Columbus and Madison over the last 40 years. Now, Indianapolis and Columbus have I-70 that's a real economic engine for them. But, all those other cities all have Big Ten universities with medical schools, but they also have big hospital partnerships. And I think that that's one of the opportunities that we have here. It's one of the things that excites me about the community, is the great potential when you bring to bear the power of a Big Ten institution. And it's exciting to have our students here and our faculty here. I just love being a part of that.
Well, we've been joined today by Aaron Souza, Dean of the College of Human Medicine at Michigan State University. And Aaron, I always try and end these conversations on a fun note. So I'll ask you one last question that has absolutely nothing to do with your job. And that is, I know that the role of the dean of the college is it's got to be one of the busiest, craziest, most challenging roles at the university. Having worked in the college some time ago, and yet at the same time, there must be a little bit of downtime. And when you find that downtime, what do you do for fun other than worry about the state of healthcare in our state?
My son and I and my wife have spent a lot of time in our yard, whether it's gardening or digging up clay and trying to fire it into a pot. And watching the animals in the yard. I really just, like being outside in Michigan, whether it's in a kayak or in the garden. And I think that that's one of the great things about this part of the country. Four seasons, great nature, getting over to the lakes. Those are the things that I think I really enjoy when I'm not with students or patients or faculty. Those are the things I enjoy most.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I feel as though we've just barely scratched the surface of the extraordinary work that the college does, but that just means we'll have to corral you into coming back sometime soon. So, Aaron, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's been a delight, Bill. Thanks so much.